exclusively on Paramount Plus. Get ready.
Vamanos!
To explore like never before.
Swiper knows. Swiping!
Oh, man!
Swing into action.
We need your help.
Woohoo!
Yay!
With a girl who put adventure on the map.
I don't think I can do it, Dora.
I'll protect you, Boots. Together, we got this.
Todos juntos!
Dora, the brand new series. Stream with your family now, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
And I was like, oh no, I'm doomed. I killed the fly. Like, how do you do that and you still get a great job? You don't. You don't kill the fly and get the job.
Oh no.
But I did.
Welcome to SpongeBob Binge Pants,
Nickelodeon's official podcast about all things SpongeBob.
I'm Hector Navarro.
And I'm Frankie Grande. And I'm so unbelievably excited for this week's episode of SpongeBob Binge Pants. We are interviewing one of the cutest and most lovable characters ever, not only in SpongeBob history, but in cartoon history.
We are going to get to talk to Carolyn, who has been there voicing Sandy Cheeks from almost basically the beginning, from the beginning of SpongeBob SquarePants. And we just watched Tea at the Tree Dome, which is her introduction. And she has been voicing this character for all of these years on the show. She's voicing her on Camp Coral. So we have a lot to talk about with Carolyn Lawrence. Let's just begin. Let's go. Let's talk to Carolyn.
First of all, for everybody out there who doesn't believe that we're talking to you, can you say something as Sandy?
Sure, of course. Howdy, everyone from Bikini Bottom, and actually from my living room.
It's Sandy, you guys. It's Sandy Cheeks. I'm freaking out.
The best. It's the best trick when we get to get these amazing voice actors to just do it like that. It's like the most amazing, magical thing. It's so great.
Any of them, though, you know what's so funny? Depending on what show you've been working on most recently or what you've been doing, sometimes it's hard to remember who you are. Does anybody need that moment of like, wait, am I... Sandy. Okay, here we go.
Okay,
It happens for me with accents. Like when I have to switch between like an Irish accent or like a British accent or something, like I will just completely go to the wrong one in the beginning. And I'm like, wait, no, wrong show, wrong character, wrong world. Like, well, pull it back, Frankie.
Frankie, I've been doing Sandy for so long, everything becomes Texan. I can't do any other dialects now. They all morph down into some sort of Southern something. Like,
y'all. And they're like, this is Downton Abbey.
So yes, exactly.
Ma'am, you are on Downton Abbey right now. Like, please.
Carolyn, when you take that second to get into Sandy, do you have a specific phrase or something that, like, locks you into the Sandy voice?
You know what I always think of is her teeth. And some of the other characters, I have phrases. Like, for Moral Oral, when I worked on Moral Oral, it was, Mr. Figarelli! Mr. Figarelli! For some reason, that always worked. I don't know. But with Sandy, it's all about her teeth. So
Think about her teeth.
She's right there. That just gets me there. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. And there you are. So you have your daughter and your cats with you right now. You said you have two cats, two dogs, and two kids?
Two cats, two dogs, two kids. Yeah. Yeah. So do I need two husbands? I don't know.
That sounds like fun. That signs me up.
Yeah, good deal. Good ratio.
Should we go back in time to the beginning?
Sure. Oh, my gosh.
Shall we talk about Sandy Cheeks and your very first audition? What were you doing in your life at the time when the script came across in front of you? Like, how was that whole experience?
Okay. Well, oh my goodness. I've had a very strange life. So I was newly divorced and fumbling through life because I didn't have a consistent job at the time. Don't know how to make a living. Don't know what to do with myself. Doing voiceover work, but nothing consistent enough. You know, like lots of commercials, a lot of guest spots and things. And I was still doing guest spots on sitcoms and whatever at the time. But in order to live, you need consistency.
Yeah.
I was with a friend of mine who's a voiceover actor. His name's Quentin Flynn. And we were walking in Las Vegas, just going down the sidewalk. And a lady came over, friends of his. Hey, you know, we start chatting. You have a great sound. And you know Hollywood. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
No, you really have a great sound. You have an agent? Sure, doesn't everybody? you know, because people talk all that. I'm like, whatever. But it turned out to be Donna Guerrillo. and she called me in to audition for Sandy.
Oh my God. Oh,
wow.
God.
Wow. Donna Grillo, the original casting director for SpongeBob.
So after struggling so hard and going to so many official casting calls and pounding the pavement the way you're supposed to, just randomly running into her, what a gift.
Amazing.
What, you know?
A gift. Yeah. And they say that. They say that, like, you know, when luck meets preparation, right? And you said you've been struggling, you've been preparing, you had gone through this traumatic event in your life, which had made you a stronger person, and then all of a sudden, boom, there you go.
Carolyn, did you know during the audition, was there any indication where were you like, oh, I think I'm going to get this? Or was it like many, many...
Oh, God,
many,
no.
Really? Wow.
You know what's funny too is, okay, so first when you audition, it's just you send it out to the ethernet and you never know if anybody even hears you. Like it just goes off into some abyss of recordings and nobody talks to you and you don't know anything.
Yep.
So I had done that part and months went by and I was like, well, whatever, because I don't know. And they called me in for the callback. And I will say it was the most unique callback I had ever been to for voice work because the creator of the show just sat in a huge conference room. We weren't in a recording studio. Huge conference room. He sat at the end of the conference table and had one mic for us. And we read that way. And so I had a little like music stand that my script was on with the mic and the conference table and whatever. And I was so nervous because I was already out of my element, right? Like as a voiceover person, you're in a booth.
Yes.
And you can kind of pretend they're not there because the recording people are behind glass, you know, but the creator is like, hi, like me.
Yeah.
So there was a fly in the room just annoying me to bits. You know, that whole thing, me. You're trying to read and it's like me. And it landed on the thing and I smacked and you know, I killed it.
Oh my God.
And I don't kill anything ever. I'm one of those people who like carries everything outside. Right?
Yeah.
Like even ants, if I can, like I'll carry them all outside.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, I'm doomed. I killed the fly. Like, how do you do that? And you still get a great job. You don't kill the fly and get the job.
But no.
But I did.
Oh my God. Well, again, everything happens for a reason. Maybe he thought you were a go-getter.
Well, I think he thought he was such a beautiful human.
Yeah.
Just such an incredibly beautiful human. And I think my level of being upset about a fly might have touched some kindred thing, you know?
You didn't keep that to yourself. You were visibly upset that you killed this fly.
Oh, yeah, I told him. I was like, oh, my, I can't believe I just, that's horrible. All I was trying to do was get it to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carolyn, that's beautiful, and that's Sandy, and that's SpongeBob, and that's the whole, you know, that's the whole thing.
Right. Hector, one thing I will say about the creator...
Yeah.
Is that he really saw people. Like, he put his team together because he saw people. It wasn't just about a sound. It wasn't about a resume. It wasn't about whatever. He picked us because of who we were.
I believe it 100%.
That is so beautiful.
It's really beautiful. It's the reason why SpongeBob is still around to this day.
Yes.
Is that you guys, when you got together and you were making these initial episodes in this first season, that DNA was already so good.
Right.
The people involved were so good that it was like, oh, this is a formula that can literally go forever because it's so good. These characters are so good. So once you get booked, once you're on the show, what was your initial reaction to Sandy Cheeks, to Bikini Bottom, to SpongeBob SquarePants, to the world? Like, did you think that this was weird, or were you like, oh, this is my vibe?
Yeah, is this a hit? That's my last.
I couldn't even go that far. I was just excited to be employed.
Yeah.
And completely intimidated by my castmates.
Wow.
They all had much stronger resumes than I did. They had a lot more experience in that arena than I did. And I was just treading water, just trying so hard to keep up with them and to feel like I was contributing on the level that they were, that I was in panic. I swear, like the first three seasons, I was sure I was getting fired every week. Every week I was like, oh God, this is
Carolyn.
The week. This is the week. I can't.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so sad, but it's true.
So wow. Were you recording it with the whole cast? Because we were talking about the creator and how he cast people rather than, you know, voices.
Yes.
Which, like, you know, as a person who does live theater, like, that is your dream, right? To work with cast members that you want to actually work with. Mm-hmm. You know, were they, like, lifting you up? Like, did you ever share this with anyone?
I don't think I told them. I was too embarrassed to tell them just how terrified I was. I think obviously it probably creeped out from time to time where I, you know, was like, oh my God, guys, but everything about our creator was unique. He sat in the booth with us. He did not sit on the other side of the glass.
Wow, I didn't know that.
He sat next to us at a table, and we all record like a play.
Yeah,
wow.
And together. We were always together. He always allowed us to play like you do in a live play. Wow. Like if somebody messed something up or somebody improv something or somebody had an idea, it was very collaborative. And just having his presence like that with us was so different. Oh my God, my cat's going to walk on the keyboard.
Cutie.
And I haven't ever had anybody else want to be that in it with the actors like he was.
I would love to ask a follow-up question about that, because I know growing up, the way that I think people understood voice acting to be was not the same as how I think people understand it today. I mean, there's so many great behind the scenes material that, you know, people, I think today fans more than ever know the names of the creators and the producers and the directors and the cast, especially. And I know that when Frankie and I were growing up, like, the big movie Mrs. Doubtfire had the great Robin Williams do voices to cartoons already animated. Yes. So I think a lot of folks think that that's how most cartoons were made or are made. But you just described you guys would kind of, you know, be in the moment and maybe improvise. Do you have a moment that you can remember that was something that you or the cast improvised that then made it into the show? Because the SpongeBob was animated after you guys recorded.
Correct. We would do all the recordings first, and then they would animate us to us, so we got to play more.
That's awesome.
Because we weren't set in anything. There was a lot of freedom. The one thing I remember is Mr. Lawrence, who plays Plankton. When we do crowd wallas, I don't know if the people know what that is, right? So when there's a big crowd scene and the townspeople are just running around or whatever they're doing, we all do all those voices, right?
Really?
Yeah, so we layer them in. So we do like a pass. I would do a pass as like a little girl and then do a pass as a grandma. And then they layer it all together so it sounds like a big crowd.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's called crowd walla. So I remember when we were doing one, Doug yelled out, "My leg!"
Oh,
Carolyn. Right. And that
we were that's Frankie's favorite.
That's my favorite. My sister, like, we literally call out my leg like at random times, like in like family dinners
and
like Christmas.
And it was just because in that moment, in that crowd walla, he did that, and it cracked us up so much that it came back forever.
That's one of my favorite things in all of the show. So I can't believe that actually was just like from a crowd walla, also, which I never knew existed. So thank you for teaching me about that.
Well, and you know what's funny about that is Tom had worked with our creator before and done the SpongeBob voice, is my understanding, you can ask him one of these days, in a crowd walla.
No way.
And the creator remembered that sound and that voice. And when he was working on SpongeBob, he was like, "Tom, I remember you did this thing." Yeah.
Amazing.
What is
amazing.
That? Do that again. Oh my
That's
God.
Amazing.
You That's know, incredible.
There are people that are born to do a thing. And that little story right there, you're like, oh, Steven Hilberg was born to make this cartoon and to work in cartoons, period. Because to have that kind of recall, you know, to be like, you did a background walla thing.
Can that I loved. Make, right.
That I loved years ago. Can you do it again? That's crazy.
And crowd scene.
I also don't know for sure, but I think that, again, just to sort of explain to some of the listeners that may not know, but even the word walla comes from the practice that you're describing, Carolyn, but back in the day, folks used to literally go walla 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 to just kind of create like crowd chatter, like
hubbub,
that kind of
hubbub hubbub.
Exactly.
Hubbub, hubbub, hubbub. Right. Yeah,
they don't want real words; they just want
hubbub, hubbub, walla 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 walla.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh my God, that's so fun.
That's why it's funny when somebody yells out an actual phrase.
My leg.
Right.
Yes. My leg.
It sticks out. Yes.
And see, I'm learning so much. And one of the cool things about Sandy Cheeks is like you are the character that the kids get to like learn from. You know, like you are. are the scientist. Like, you, I'm sure so many little boys and girls fall in love with sciences through the eyes of Sandy Cheeks.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like, what is that? What is that like? And do you think Steven Hillenburg, like, what do you think about when he like kind of passed that on to you? Because he is a scientist himself.
Yes.
Yes. Right? A marine biologist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It blows my mind. The whole world of SpongeBob blows my mind because it's good old-fashioned comedy slapstick. So a lot of physical comedy you don't necessarily see in cartoons like we had presented it or like Steve Hillenburg had presented it. But then mm-hmm. he had all those other layers of complexity, like yeah. Mr. Krabs and money, which is a very funny thing, but it's also a true thing for kids yes. to look at and be like, oh, wait a minute.
Yep.
It shouldn't be yep. all about that. SpongeBob's love for his job.
Yep. Yeah.
Like to find something that you love that much, right?
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And then, yeah, Sandy's like insatiable appetite for learning things.
Yeah.
There's mm-hmm. just so many facets. I don't know how anybody was ever that brilliant to put it all together in this one little package and have it still be entertaining because nothing preaches to you.
No, mm-hmm. you never know, is preaching.
A lot of times absolutely. They try to make cartoons and they try to make, especially female characters.
Mm-hmm.
They want yes. the girls to be powerful and they want her to be, but it's like hitting kids over the head.
Yeah. You're right.
I like
you're
that right. Sandy and, just is.
Yeah. And she's funny first. She's a funny member of this cast.
Right.
And she's funny in different ways. And, you know, it's everything that makes up Sandy and her personality, like you're saying, that's where she brings that to the world of SpongeBob. The curiosity, the scientist, you know, the inventor, which is another classic cartoon thing. But yeah, it's like Sandy's just great on her own and funny. Yeah.
The opposite of a fish out of water. She's a yeah. squirrel in right. water.
Right.
You know?
Right. Like me in life.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's so relatable. Like that is yeah. so relatable. Even just yeah. that first episode where she's like, I would love to have a friend, you know, sure. like I'm underwater. Like, please
tea
come over
at the tree dome.
Tea at the tree dome.
Classic.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's yeah. so classic. Great. Carolyn, I would love to know, you know, you're the first cast member that we're talking to for this
oh,
podcast.
Okay, I didn't know that. Ooh.
Yeah, we're so honored
no
to have
pressure.
You. I would love to know from like the perspective of someone in the cast, because we talked to Kenny Pittenger, we talked to, you know, he did the layouts yes. and the backgrounds mm-hmm. and everything. But from your perspective, when do you think you on the cast knew, oh, this is actually going to be a big hit?
Hmm. For me, it was when I saw products at Target.
Wow. Wow.
That's and it so was cool. so surreal. Honest to God, you guys, 20 plus years later, it's still surreal.
Yeah.
It's still, it won't ever make sense to me. You know, it seems kind of like this entity that's done really well, but it's over there. It still doesn't feel, I don't know how to explain
Carolyn,
it.
Carolyn, you're in it. You're a part it's of it. Been, you're in it.
What? But yeah, it was being at Target and seeing, I think it might have been the back to school stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, no way. And that day there was a kid in Target talking about the products and I was just standing behind him like,
oh my no.
You don't know who I am. Yeah, I don't know. It's so weird.
I should have surprised him. I would have paid so much money. That
I'm
would be
shy.
A great TikTok.
Follow-up question, because I'm yes. sure that this has been happening to you for the past few decades now, to see SpongeBob stuff in the wild. Do you have a favorite toy or piece of merchandise with Sandy Cheeks on it? Something SpongeBob that is your favorite that you've seen?
Gosh, you know what? Roger, who plays Squidward, is a huge collector. I don't know. He has a museum. He's like...
Wow.
That's
he's
awesome.
Got everything ever made. He showed me a picture of it because he didn't give it to me yet, but he found me a snow globe and it's a Sandy Cheeks snow globe.
Yeah.
So he bought me yeah. one. I don't have it yet, but I think that's the most magical thing I've seen so far of her specifically.
It's a tree dome.
Because it's a tree
yeah.
dome. Yeah.
Does it have leaves that blow yeah. around? What blows around? Or is it snow?
It looks like snow, but I don't. Oh, I can't yeah. wait till we can see each other. He'll give it to me.
Oh my God.
As far
that's
as
so
other
great.
Stuff, I really like all the merchandise. I like wearing, I'm such a dork. I like the new thing with Vans. Like Vans did
with
a tie-in.
And Vans?
Yes. Awesome. You can awesome. Customize SpongeBob shoes.
Cool.
Did you know that you can go online and
no.
you can choose which artwork and whatever on your Vans Yeah, I had
right
to
now.
Buy like four pair because I'm me. Sent my mom some, you know.
Hector, just take over the rest of this interview. I'm going to be customizing my Vans.
And then
the
when you're done, I'll do it because I need some new shoes too. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
really cool.
Awesome.
I know that one of my favorite things is I was a couple years ago in like a Petco and I saw aquarium stuff.
That stuff is amazing.
Right?
Yes.
That stuff is amazing. An actual pineapple, right? Like Squidward's house. Has anyone made an aquarium underground tree dome with air in it? So it's
oh my god,
fish can't even go in there, but it's
so
in
smart.
And the bottom of an I would love that.
That's
would
a great
love
idea.
That.
I have not seen it, but maybe now that you've said it, somebody on Etsy will
yes, we'll like create one because that's a really smart idea.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to start more side projects for all of the amazing people who work on the production of these shows, Carolyn. But I know also that you're in real estate.
Yes.
And I am so shocked that none of the amazing artists that have worked on these shows over the years, no one has made you a little model tree dome so that
they
you can have.
Not.
Oh, Carolyn.
They have not. But you know what? A lot of the artists have given me custom artwork that I will cherish forever. I have some amazing pieces of art that people have done for holidays or thank yous or whatever.
That's so great.
And speaking of skills, you know, Sandy displays so many skills, you know. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite Sandy skill that she has?
Favorite Sandy skill? Well, I love that she's good at karate.
Yeah, of course. Karate!
Karate! I love... What else do I love? I don't know if it's considered a skill, but I like how good of a friend she is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is a
that's
skill.
A good point.
That
it
is a great skill, actually.
It is. You know, we're going to work at it.
It's something to work at. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Friendships are hard. Relationships are hard. And she's so, and she's also invested in making SpongeBob like a better person all the time, you know, and in each other, you know, like, she's not a friend that's like, hey, you did something that was really mean to me, so I'm not going to talk to you anymore. She's like, I'm going to talk to you about why that was not cool and how to fix it. And, you know, it's just,
and let's all do better.
And let's
we can all do better.
Better in a loving way.
Yes.
Can she be president? I'm ready.
Yeah. Can we make a run for president? That'd be amazing.
Love it.
Frank and I, we just watched Ripped Pants, which is, you know, second episode from season one.
Yeah.
And you're right, because even when they're in the Goo Lagoon, Sandy is able to be friends with all the bodybuilders. And she's able to be friends with every group of characters that she's with. And that is an amazing, beautiful skill. You know, she's not clicky. She's all about being friends with everybody. That's awesome.
And meanwhile, she's an other, like, the whole time, you know, because she's not, she's a land mammal. I mean, a land creature.
She's what I call a floater, right? I was a floater in high school that I just, there was no particular group.
Yeah.
I just like humans. There shouldn't be, you know?
Yeah.
So
no
I can float to this group or that group or that group or that group. It's all good. Yeah.
Carolyn, that's another piece of evidence for why it makes so much sense how you were cast as Sandy Cheeks. It's you. It's so great.
It's your energy.
Yeah, exactly. Carolyn, other than Sandy.
Yes.
Who is your favorite character in the SpongeBob world?
Oh.
You know, it vacillates because a lot of it depends on what situation they're in, but more often than not, it would be Gary.
Honestly, surprising answer. Surprising answer, but...
Because I love pets so much, and there's that unconditional sweetness, and I love the relationship. I love how much care they give one another.
Mm-hmm. Who's the voice of Gary?
Tom, who plays
SpongeBob. Tom Kenny, of course. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Making Gary the cat. Brilliant. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Again. Yeah. Just everything's
so
brilliant.
He is so funny. And I love the Gary episodes too because they go into such like crazy lands. You know, they take us far away to other areas of Bikini Bottom that we would never ever have envisioned because Gary is what? An explorer. Of course.
Yeah. Of
like
course.
Most cats. And like Sandy is too. Another character that takes us to like the moon and beyond. And it's so fun to get to watch all of that happen.
Right.
Every single day. Do you have a favorite episode? I mean, is that even possible?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite episode or like a favorite
again,
thing that you worked on?
I have favorite moments. I really like, I don't think I'm in it though. I like the episode called The Paper.
Okay.
I think that's what it's called. I don't think Sandy's in it. Where Squidward throws away a crumpled piece of paper and Patrick and SpongeBob pick it up and like have a blast.
The best time ever.
Had the best time ever playing with it. And then when Squidward gets it back, he can't have the same fun because his imagination. Is that the one that's imagination? I don't know if that was that episode.
Idiot Box, I think.
Is it Idiot Box?
Yeah. With the box?
Imagination is the cardboard box.
Of course, well, there's how many? 300? Like, how many are there?
It's amazing that the fans can keep it straight and I can't.
That's a lot. It's a lot that you've done.
That's, you know, that's the fan's job, right?
Is
to keep track of that stuff. And
I appreciate
and
it.
The paper is another classic season one episode. If that doesn't perfectly describe the world of SpongeBob, right? That SpongeBob and Patrick can make magic out of this thing and Squidward can't get it to work. It's so great.
What about when you recorded it in live action? What was that like when you got to play Sandy in a spacesuit?
Right? Frankie is, of course, referring to the 20th anniversary special where the cast got to play versions of their characters in live action.
I want to go back and do it over again. I do.
Because it was so much fun?
Well, because it was so much fun and because I think I could be better. I'm so that person, right? When I go back and I look at it and I'm like, I missed that moment where she should have been blah, 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 blah. But yes, it was
great.
It was so great fun. We had a blast. And it was weird though, because when we all got to set for the first time and just looked at each other, we were like, whoa, what are we doing? I don't know what we're doing.
Weird to see your fellow castmates without a microphone near them. Like, it's just you guys.
Right.
You know?
It was surreal. And then have the voices come out and the costumes on and like, what is happening? It was very fun.
One of my favorite things about SpongeBob, and it's happened from the early episodes, is that idea of like, we're going to do live action bits. We're going to do claymation. We're going to do all these different styles.
The pirate. Yeah, the popsicle stick
so
characters.
Funny.
Hilarious.
Have you ever gotten to meet any of the actors that play Sandy in other languages?
No. And you know what? I don't know if I should even say this on a podcast, but here we go.
Okay. Yeah.
I have pitched several times how much I want to do that.
Oh,
and
man.
And how I wanted to do it in documentary form.
Yeah.
I have it all in my brain of how it would function.
Yeah.
And I would like to make that happen. And yet, no one has gone on that journey with me. I think it would be amazing.
Our producer wants to do it.
Our
so
producer's
let's do
in
it.
Our chat. He's like, I want to make that documentary. So, Carolyn, let's put it out into the universe. We're going to do it. Let's
I
do
would
it.
Love to do that.
This is the greatest tool on earth as a podcast or an interview. Yeah. I do that all the time. Like, I'm always like, if I'm interviewed, I'm like, yeah, actually, you know what? I think I'd be really great to play that character on Gossip Girl. Wow. I'm so surprised that you said that. I'm such a fan. I hope, you know, like, I'm always like, so this is great. This is how you get it done.
We should clarify. Carolyn did not ask us to ask this question. It seems like a plant.
An organic moment.
It really was. But Carolyn, if I could ask, without giving away the pitch and the logistics of it, why would you love to do that? Why do you think it would be so great to meet all of those other voice actors?
Here's what I thought, and I'm sure it would be great for any of the characters to meet their fellow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But for me personally, I wanted to know from a woman's point of view. I wanted to know how this changed their lives. Did it change their income level like it did mine? Did it change their consistency of life like it did mine? Like, I'm a single mom by choice. I've had two girls by myself. I don't think I would have been able to do that without this job. Actually, I know I wouldn't have been able to do that without this job. I want to know what that looked like for these other women. And I also want to know, in other countries, is it even the same?
Yeah,
Is it a big, exciting, iconic moment in their lives, or if it is it truly just an ADR job, like a wallet job? They just come in and they lay it down and they get paid nothing and they leave.
Right.
Like,
and what
like
I what
replacement
I love,
cast almost, you right. know, like a different than original.
What I love too about SpongeBob is that Bikini Bottom is not in a specific place. However, Sandy is specifically from Texas.
Right.
It's a very region specific thing. So in other countries, are they pulling that and going, is Sandy still from Texas but speaks in this other language? Or is it regionally she's from this part of our culture and, you know, but then it's an outsider in Bikini Bottom?
Is she from the country in their country?
Exactly. The country from in their country.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be great.
I would love
that
to know all of it. I want to know all of it. You you know what's another fun part of the business that people don't know about? Is when a celebrity does a job and then they're no longer available.
Oh, yeah.
They bring a voice match in to do that person's ADR.
Yep.
So I've done that a lot.
Whoa, great.
So that's fun. I'm like, oh, she's not available again? Great.
Oh my God.
Carolyn to the rescue. Here we go.
Yeah.
In case anybody listening doesn't know what ADR is, it's additional dialogue recording.
They also have people that come in and will sing just certain notes.
Mm-hmm.
So if an actor has a song in whatever movie, musical, whatever, and they just can't quite hit
a high note. Wow.
They'll bring a professional singer in to hit that note.
Blend it in there. God. Wow. That's amazing.
Just lies.
And I always wonder, do the actors know? I don't think they're told. Do they go and see the movie and they're like, dang, I sounded better than I thought.
I don't know. Maybe they just say, we'll fix it in post. So, and then they get there and they're like, wow, they really did fix it in post.
Maybe. I mean, I would want to know.
They can do great things.
I would want to know.
I would want to know too, but I don't think they tell. I don't think they do.
I would love to ask about this. I am so happy that Sandy Cheeks is a part of Camp Coral.
Oh, yes.
And Sandy is almost, in a way, almost a bigger player in that world because she's like a bunkmate right there with SpongeBob and Patrick. What has it been like getting to play this younger version of Sandy Cheeks?
It's so fun. It was so fun to play her young. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because there's just that much more enthusiasm. Because she's just beginning to learn the possibilities of all the things that she later, you know, gets to do when she's older. I don't know. I really love her young. I love her braces. I love the camp.
You talked about her teeth are the thing that gets you into Sandy's character. Yeah. Do the braces factor in at all?
They do. Yeah. They do. Because then it becomes the whole thing with the ishes. So it changes it a little bit. And honestly, sometimes it's hard to remember. We'll be recording something and I'll be like, oh, right. It's young Sandy, not old. Can we go back? I totally forgot who I was.
So cute.
Do you pitch her up? Do you give her like a little bit of a younger voice?
Yes, I do. Like I try to pitch her up. Yeah.
Yeah. So then you're like, hey, it's me, Sandy. And they're okay. And you're like, okay, well, can we go and do that one again? I forgot.
Hey,
SpongeBob.
It's fine. Just tell me I forgot. Vince, he's one of our showrunners, and he's always like, braces, braces, braces. I'm like, right.
Of course, we have seen SpongeBob and Sandy meet in the first episode in the pilot of SpongeBob, but then they re-meet again in Camp Coral. So there is a time travel episode.
Right.
What was that like? What did you think about that whole thing? Like, what did you think about Sandy talking to Kid Sandy?
For the audience, and spoiler alert, Frankie is referring to a moment in the Camp Coral episode called Kitchen Sponge.
Well, at first, when the movie came out and the through line was a little, I was like, what's happening?
Yeah.
How are they going to make this work?
Yeah.
So when that script came out, I was like, oh, yay. Oh, yay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now we can make sense of it. And that's very fun. And it's a very cool concept to have that happen. Yeah. So
it's very own multiverse.
Yes, exactly.
Like how Marvel has decided now all the Spider-Mans get to meet each other and all the villains and everything will make sense. And Tobey Maguire can be friends with Tom Holland and the life is good.
Yeah.
So like they're making sense of everything, which is great.
Yeah.
As you have made this intimate relationship with a character, you know, like as an actor myself, like I can only imagine getting to play a character for 20 plus years. Like, wow.
Amazing. Amazing.
Have you learned anything about yourself in the process?
I learned that Sandy has a lot more confidence and I should probably merge more of her into me than me into her.
I think we should all have a little bit more Sandy Cheeks in us. I think that's
Yeah. She just lives life so fully and she's not fear-based. And I've never been fear-based either. I'll go for what I want Yeah, I had a neighbor who was like, oh, you're so brave. No, not brave. Just we'll do it anyway. Right? So I think Sandy reinforced that, the just do it anyway. Like, even if you're scared or you're not sure how it's going to go, you just go and deal with it.
Yeah.
So I certainly, she's reinforced that over 20 years. Yeah.
To kind of keep going in that direction, Carolyn, and I know you mentioned earlier in the callback audition that you accidentally killed a fly and yeah. let everybody in the room know. And I feel like this is something that made its way into Sandy, but what do you think of you, Carolyn Lawrence, made its way into the character of Sandy Cheeks?
Those moments where she's vulnerable, I do think we're similar and that we're trying so hard, even though we fail sometimes, we are trying really hard to make the world around us a better place to be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know if you guys, it sounds crazy, but when they talk about purpose in life, you know, they try to say you'll be happier if you have a purpose in life, and people try to figure out what their purpose is, right? And I did this workshop millions of years ago with Sam, I can't think of Sam's last name, Sam Christensen, who tries to help actors figure out things, right? Mm-hmm. And he takes you through all these workshops to figure out a purpose. And it dawned on me that I like building community.
Mm.
So I like knowing my neighbors, and I like building community, which is why I like renovating houses, which is why blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And I do think Sandy and I have that in common.
100%.
I love that.
100%.
Gotta find my purpose. Gotta find me.
It's a really interesting thing to think about, because what was it, George Burns, who said his purpose was just to make people laugh? So every day, if he could make somebody laugh, he was happy. I think that was his thing.
And listen, in the immortal words of Roger Rabbit, too. That's the exact same thing. Frank and I were talking about Roger Rabbit earlier. That he has that magical cartoon ability where he can only do something as long as it's funny.
Yeah.
And Roger Rabbit's, my entire purpose in life is to make people laugh. Wow. Like, beautiful. That's beautiful.
People look for these huge purposes, right? But it can be just that little tiny, like, I'd like to talk to my neighbors.
And it's so true, though, because, like, I mean, especially with the way the world is right now, like, I have personally felt the pressure to solve it.
Right.
You know, like, I really feel like I need to solve it. And it's been actually very difficult for me to figure out that I can't be the person, the one person that solves it. But there are many things in my day-to-day life that I can solve and that I can be part of the solution. And if every single person around the world lives their life like that, then we will solve the problem.
Totally.
But like, it's been so hard to not try to fix it yourself. It's
been
crazy.
So hard.
Well, listen, Carolyn and Frankie, both of you are heroes of mine. Honestly,
I'd say, I love you.
You guys are so great. And it's, I love talking to you, Carolyn, because I'm picking up on the sort of your work ethic and how this is so important to you. And I love how seriously you take this particular role and the responsibility, and you know how beloved it is for people around the world.
Yes.
And yet you're still Carolyn, and you still, you know, do the things that you do. And this has just been such an awesome, awesome conversation. It really has.
I've enjoyed it tremendously. It's so funny, you guys, because also the past year and a half, I mean, I don't know what your lives have been, but mine's been 24/7 with two kids for the most part, right?
Yeah.
So having connections with adults like this is amazing. So thank you for a really good conversation that's
Anytime.
Outside of my little year and a half bubble.
Oh my gosh, what a fantastic and lovely interview with Carolyn Lawrence. Frankie, that was so great. That was so much fun.
I'm so giddy because I didn't know that this was something that I desperately needed in my life. But as we were talking to her, I just realized how much I have loved her work throughout my life. You know, I feel we always talk about SpongeBob as the title character, SpongeBob and Patrick. But then when getting to talk to Carolyn Lawrence about Sandy Cheeks, it just made me realize how on par with SpongeBob and Patrick Sandy has been in my life in terms of influencing me and just me falling in love with this show. So
Absolutely.
It was a fantastic, fantastic interview, and I'm so grateful we got to talk to her.
An icon, a living legend. So happy that we got to chat with her. And again, huge thanks to Carolyn for sharing her time with us. Hope to have her on the podcast again, because we've got a lot more to talk about. Guys, thanks for listening. We will be back soon with another hilarious episode, because Frankie and I are so great. So please stay tuned.
We certainly are. And Hector, I'm sorry, I've got to go, because I've got to go. Oh, 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 oh. Love y'all.
Bye.